It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and we are back with another Dynasty Rookie Prospect Profile. My co-host, Adam Pfeiffer, we're going to dive into a man that I was really interested to turn on the tape and see what he's all about. Javonte Williams is up on deck. Adam, what's going on, man?
I am very excited to talk about Javonte Williams.
You can...
You probably hear me smiling, actually. Like you said, we're ripping off a ton of these prospect podcasts. I can't even give you a timetable because there's going to be so many and so much happening leading up to the draft. But Javonte Williams is up next, and just make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of them, because it's going to be a lot.
Oh, dude, we're going to have all of these coming out. It's going to be fantastic. Up until the NFL draft, breaking down. So just to get people out, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Sit down. Stay a while. We're going to have these things. They're going to be 20 to 30 minutes, usually, unless we just get on one of our random rants. So breaking down, trying to go in depth on these players, giving you production backgrounds, strengths, weaknesses, as well as potential fits as far as scheme, landing spots, draft capital for all of these players at all of these different positions. Like, we're going to have quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends walking you into the top prospects for the NFL draft that you're going to be looking at for Dynasty, for Best Ball, and all other formats for the upcoming next season, man. So jumping into Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams is 5'10", 220, the last measurables at least we have right now, 79th percentile BMI. Coming out of North Carolina is going to be a relatively young prospect walking into the NFL, probably at age 21. He was a three-star recruit by 24/7 Sports. And you look at a guy who is bulked up and added some muscle to that frame. Like, coming out of high school, he was 5'11", 195. And I don't have a true confirmation on this, but I've seen multiple places cite that he ran a 4.7 140 in high school. Now, again, I think you take that with a grain of salt, because looking at him on film, his speed, as well as adding size to that frame, I think he's going to run faster. Now, it's good. It's a good decision point and topic of conversation as we're going into his profile. How much faster is up for debate. But again, speed, I don't think, is going to be a massive, massive concern. He was also a track and field star in high school, won state in the 4x100 relay in high school. Didn't get a ton of interest coming out, only some FCS schools, Ivy League schools, landed in North Carolina. And over the last two seasons, like in 2018, they ran a four-way RBBC. Now, that really got pared down to him and Michael Carter in 2019 in this last season. Had 933 rushing yards in this last season. He went over 1,100. 22 total touchdowns in this last season. The pass game usage as well went up. 3% target share went up to 8% in 2020. You're also looking at a player who is 94th percentile in yards per carry, 64th percentile overall in target share. Adam, what are your thoughts real quickly on his production profile?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how people view what he did, because you look at his numbers, right? I mean, 11 games, and he didn't play the bowl game because he opted out. So, could have played another game. But the receiving yards, everything was an uptick, right? The touchdowns were insane, though. 22 touchdowns. He scored a touchdown on over, almost 9% of his touches. Like, it was insane. He actually had less carries this year than last year and still had more rushing yards, way more touchdowns, more receptions, more receiving yards. Like, just everything went up for Javonte Williams, all while splitting time with Michael Carter, who I'm sure we'll talk about in another podcast, who's pretty good himself. I like Michael Carter. But they were that thunder and lightning combo, and yet Javonte Williams still just dominated pretty much almost every game. So for me, there really wasn't anything that stood out that was like a red flag or anything from what Javonte Williams did at North Carolina last year.
Yeah, I mean, looking over the last two seasons, I think one of the biggest things that people are going to look at his production overall and say, okay, it was a split backfield. Can he be a three-down workhorse type in the NFL? I think that he can. I think that him splitting the backfield is more about, like, the talent that was in the backfield at North Carolina. And if you're looking at, like, how they wanted to run their offense, how they're doing things as a program, we've seen other running backs come out of highly touted prospects, whether it's one of the guys we're going to get to later in Josh Jacobs. We've seen other running backs come out of really, really big programs. And
every Alabama running back ever.
Pretty much, yes. Yes, it's exactly right. And go on to have productive NFL careers as the main guy in the backfield. So I think if people are looking at just his carry load and what he's done, has he reeled off a ton of games where he's gotten 20-plus carries? Not a ton. Like over the last season of 2020, he had two games of 20-plus carries. You saw the pass game usage go up a lot, though, Adam. Multiple games, like where he had three receptions, four receptions, whereas the previous year in 2019, I mean, you didn't see as much of a workload in the pass game or the rushing. One game versus Georgia Tech where he had 20 carries, but only one. Three games where he had three receptions, and he did that with more regularity walking into 2020. So the workload actually is, it was better in 2020 from an overall standpoint than it was in 2019. And I'm not that concerned about him being able to be a three-down guy in the NFL. What are your thoughts, Adam? Can he be a three-down workhorse for you in the NFL, or are you more worried about it?
I don't think he can be. I think he will be.
Okay.
That's simple.
He's good. He is quite good, man. And looking at overall from production standpoint, he ran predominantly zone 60% of his rushes, but there was also a lot of gap schemes. So I think that with his skill set, he's a guy that you could put in either one of those types of systems something that's a marriage of the two. And I think that he's going to be a runner that can produce well in both of them. You look at on paper, over the last two seasons, dude, like in 2020 amongst 150 running backs with 75 or more rushing attempts, he was 7th in yards after contact per attempt. Now, same workload level, 14th in 2019. The dude has the ability to break some freaking tackles. Like, you turn on the film, and that's one of the first things that just pops out at you, and you're like, ooh, well, look at that. But jumping in, like, anything else in his production that you want to hammer on before we jump into his strengths?
No, I just, like I said, I think it's still really encouraging that he did what he did despite splitting a lot of time with Michael Carter, and the fact that his rushing attempts actually went down this year and his production still was through the roof. So, and he just scored touchdowns, man. He was absolutely ridiculous. 22 total touchdowns last year.
I'm going to leave this off, man. I love Javonte Williams. I love his skill set, dude. And I think that he could be a three down back in the NFL. One of the things, and we talked about this when we discussed Travis Etienne, and I do not think it is a problem for Javonte Williams. He was very consistent. We're early into this class. Dude has some pass pro chops. Like, I saw him blowing up dudes. I saw multiple plays where Sam Howell would have been destroyed by free rushers if not for Javonte Williams. You also saw stretch plays where they had Javonte Williams as a lead blocker for Michael Carter, and he was knocking dudes off their point. So, as far as we're talking about three down skill sets and a guy who's going to come off the field in third downs, because he can't protect the quarterback, I do not think that you have to worry about that with Javonte Williams. I think that his quarterback at the NFL is going to love him because he's going to blow up dudes trying to get in his face. But did you see any concerns with his pass pro?
Not really, no. I think, like, it'll happen with all running backs. There were some inconsistencies with his pass protection. But, like you said, when he hits in pass pro, he hits and he hits hard. Let's be honest. Like, running backs don't... I would say most running backs aren't thrilled with pass blocking. So I feel like there's going to be inconsistencies with a lot of these guys. But at the end of the day, from a physical profile, from the ability to just hit guys, like Javonte Williams is an ideal person to have pass block for your quarterback. And that is still very important at the NFL level, obviously, especially depending on where you land. If you're landing somewhere with a franchise quarterback or just a guy, a veteran quarterback that where you don't have a backup that's viable. So Javonte Williams, I think, was more than capable.
I love him, man. And getting back to his strengths, one of the things that I love when I watch some running backs is, are you able to create yards for yourself? Because am I worried when you get into a landing spot? Yes, the offensive line is going to play in for every running back and any running back. And yes, that is absolutely true. But how much of a factor does it play into? And for Javonte Williams, I've got less concerns. I mean, look, UNC's offensive line has not been fantastic. Like 60th in adjusted line yards. But I think that for what their offensive line on paper has done over the last two seasons, that's more of a testament to the skill in that backfield than I feel like is for the skill of that offensive line. Because you look at it, they were 71st in power success rate, 49th in stuff rate, and even going all the way back to 2019, they were 65th or worse in every other line yard metric that I give a crap about for college offensive line. So I think Javonte Williams made his offensive line look a whole lot, hell of a lot better than they actually were. I love his burst, his ability to create yards, also his tackle-breaking ability. And people talk about how violent of a runner he is. I didn't see him as a guy that was just like lowering his shoulder and running into schmoes just to freaking do it and try to run over people. I've heard that talked about as far as like how physical he is. I saw a guy that was a nuanced runner, like was able to stiff arm dudes, would spin move guys, would actually had lateral agility, could jump cut people in the hole. Like there were very few runs where I was seeing Javonte Williams blown up in the backfield. He was usually making at least one guy miss if he was hit behind the line of scrimmage, if not two. I love his game in that aspect, and I guess after watching more of his film, Adam, I have less concerns than I did previously walking into looking at him as a prospect about injuries and stuff of that nature walking into the NFL. But what did you see from his running style?
Dude, he freaking broke Pro Football Focus. He... According to PFF, he averaged almost a half a broken tackle per rushing attempt, which was a college record for PFF. Like, he literally broke Pro Football Focus last year. He was absolutely ridiculous. 75 missed tackles forced, led the nation. He was second in carries of 15-plus yards. Like, he was ridiculous. Like, a guy that you had to get multiple defenders to bring him down. I think I saw him kind of initiate contact a little bit more than you, which could be viewed as a red flag for some people, which, you know, how long is he going to last if he keeps this playing style up? But I'm not overly concerned about that. I think he showed the ability to kind of make defenders miss in multiple ways, kind of like you said. I think he's somebody that can be and will be at times a very violent runner in the NFL, and somebody like, okay, there's going to be a lazy comp of Derrick Henry for every powerful running back. He's not Derrick Henry, but in terms of like the running back you want at the end of the game, like that's going to be where Javonte Williams could be at his best, I think, is just kind of ripping off 6-7 yard runs, dragging defenders late in the fourth quarter. Like he's going to be a tough tackle right out of the gate at the NFL level. That's his biggest strength, obviously, is his ability to just make people miss, break tackles. He was ridiculous. But he also can, like, while he doesn't have the crazy burst or the agility, he can rip off long runs. Like he's not a guy that he just, okay, broke off a bunch of runs and got 9 yards. Like, he can rip off, like I said, 20, 15-yard runs with relative ease. So, yeah, I mean, just he is so fun to watch with what he can do with his elusiveness. Yeah, he broke PFF. Like, he literally broke the site. Like,
I think that it's also, like, watching these running backs over multiple years, it's really interesting as well, because I did see a difference in his running from 2019 to 2020. Like, the dude must have put in some time in the weight room, in the gym. I mean, really, you saw more decisiveness with his cuts. In 2019, I did see where if he did cut in the open field and try to elude somebody, he did lose a little bit of speed in the process. I didn't see that as evident on his 2020 film versus 2019. So that
it's
makes
a pretty good sign.
You like to see things like that and players evolve and hone their game some more, as well as get better physically. So that's really, really interesting to me, especially him walking into the NFL this year. And I want to talk about it as far as like his elusivity and people talking about, okay, well, they play Notre Dame and he didn't do anything versus Notre Dame. Dude, he had multiple teams.
Dude, look what he did against Miami.
Dude, that's the thing. If anybody wants to point to Notre Dame and say that's the only good run defense he played, dude, you need to go back and check your metrics. Because NC State, 32nd, 15th, and 20th in line yards, power success, and stuff rate. Virginia, 20th, 82nd, 62nd. Wake Forest, 41st in line yards, 34th in stuff rate. Miami was top 21 in all three of those
And he
metrics.
Had 236 yards and three touchdowns.
Yes, and he had multiple 100-yard games. Like, he rolled off 160 versus NC State. He ran for 54 versus Virginia, but only on 13 carries. 101 versus Wake Forest. 236 versus Miami. Like, he steamrolled the hell out of them. So if anybody wants to tell me, like, he didn't play any competition, you need to go back and check your homework, man. He played some good
Just
teams.
Go watch the Miami game, like, if you're not totally convinced on Javonte Williams. Just go watch that game.
He absolutely balled out in that game. Now, I know we've given a lot of love to all of his strengths and what he does well. Adam, tell me some drawbacks. Tell me some points that he can either get better or some weaknesses that are holes you saw in his game.
So he's obviously not the most, agile break. He's not going to give you breakaway ability as a runner very consistently, but, not many running backs will. It's hard to rip off those huge runs, but he's not going to be a guy, like we mentioned with Travis Etienne, that has that home run ability. Like, he's just not that type of runner, but that's okay. Like, I prefer these running backs that just no nonsense, get what's there. So it's a weakness, but it's not like a red flag necessarily. I think he could be a little bit more improved in the passing game. Had a couple drops last year. Wasn't like the most nuanced pass catcher out of the backfield. And again, Michael Carter was more of the pass catcher at North Carolina. But like when they asked Javonte Williams to produce in the passing game, he was good enough. I think he could be better though. So that's probably the other weakness. But really, there's not much that I don't like about Javonte Williams. I mean, he's my number two running back in this class for a reason. They're really, again, I think he'll probably run like a four, in between like a 4.5 and a 4.6, if I had to guess. So that's, again, not crazy speed, not going to win, laterally or anything like that. But other than that, I don't see too much to not like about Javonte Williams.
I'm with you. I think that he runs in the mid to high 4.5s. I think that his short area metrics are going to surprise some people. And really, that's... Look, you're talking about, yes, and bringing up weaknesses, do I think that he has this burner long speed? No. But if you were talking about benchmarks and your ability, like, I think that Javonte Williams is a player in the NFL that could break 30-yard runs, 40-yard runs? Yes. In the right schemes and blocking, I think that he absolutely can do that, as well as the ability to create for himself. So if you have a coach that could scheme him into space or an offensive line that's going to break him and able to accentuate some of that by getting him into space, he gets to the second level, dude, he's going to be trouble. Like, imagine a nickel corner trying to drag this dude down in the middle. Like, he's going to stiff arm them straight in the face and keep on rolling. Like, there is one game that I remember of, like, he was playing against Clemson, and he took Kevon Wallace. Like, he whiffed on the first stiff arm, and then he was like, oh, I missed you on that one. Boom! And then he got him with the second one, and he went down, baby. And I was like, oh, my God! I love his game, dude, but I do think that if you're going to poke holes in it, he does not have the ability to break off a 70-yard run. He doesn't have the elite long speed, but I don't think that he needs it. But you're talking about his pass game usage. I don't think that he's a nuanced route runner. I think that he's serviceable in the pass game. Talked about the pass protection stuff. I think that in the NFL, he's going to be used not so much on wheel routes and things of that nature, lining with the slot and stuff. I think that you're going to see him used as an outlet. Could he be used more on dump offs? I think that he's serviceable in those areas. I think that, and we're going to talk about like what we see as far as like the closest comp. Like, we talked about this before we turned on the mics. If Josh Jacobs and Chris Carson had a baby, I think it'd be Javonte Williams. And looking at a guy like Carson, who was not a great pass catcher coming out, became a more serviceable pass catcher, especially this last season, I think that's a career arc that you could see for Javonte Williams in the pass game. I think that there, no comp is perfect, but as far as his physical running style, the ability to be elusive and to break off 30, 40-yard runs, I like him as a marriage between those two different skill sets. But your thoughts, Adam?
Yeah, so for me, I see three players. Josh Jacobs is definitely on my list. He also reminds me of Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is a little bit smaller than Javonte Williams, but like neither player has breakaway speed. They're both good at breaking tackles. They're both good enough in the short area game, and they're both like Aaron Jones coming out of college wasn't like the most polished pass catcher either. Wasn't a great route runner, and then we've seen playing with Aaron Rodgers the past couple years, he's developed into a very good one. That's why he wasn't playing a lot when he first entered the league, because Jamal Williams is better in pass pro and pass catching. So he reminds me of Aaron Jones, and I think people are going to like scoff at this, but they're very comparable. David Montgomery, I mean, they're like the same measurables, 5'10", 220. Coming out of college, David Montgomery was very similar. Like, he was just crazy balance, broke a ton of tackles, which is why a lot of us fell in love with him. Wasn't known as a pass catcher and ran like a 4.6, 340, which could be where Javonte Williams ends up. I think, honestly, and like, David Montgomery hasn't had the start to the career that we've all expected, but he hasn't been bad, like, especially after last year. I think worst case scenario is, and we're seeing Dave Montgomery now in his, second year. Yes, his passing work was improved this year, but it's also due to the fact that they didn't have a choice because Tariq Cohen was out after week three. But, like, we talked about it. He was a much more patient runner. He saw the holes quicker. The game kind of slowed down for him in his second year, and he looked a lot better. Like, I think Javonte Williams, I honestly think he's, like, better than Dave Montgomery. So, like, I think that might be his worst case scenario is what Dave Montgomery was last year as a player. Like, I think he's falls in line between those three players for me.
That's his floor, like, as far as the rookie season we saw to David Montgomery?
I do. I really do.
Okay.
I think the ceiling's higher.
Players, and we're talking about, like, comps and stuff, and no comp is perfect because all these guys have different skill sets and stuff.
From a pure measurable standpoint, like, he is very similar to Dave Montgomery.
A little bit better burst in the vision than Montgomery.
Yeah, I agree.
People hear that comp and they're like, this is in their games, but I get where you're going with
it. I'm just comparing them from how they were when they came out of college, right? Like, both 5'10", 220, both were known for just shredding through tackles, didn't have crazy burst, were okay to good enough in the passing game, but there's going to be room for improvement for both, and then we've already seen improvement for Montgomery. I love the Josh Jacobs comp, too. I think his ceiling is like what Josh Jacobs is now, but better. Like, I really do.
I think because of his pass protection and the end there, I think that he could walk into more pass game work than Josh Jacobs does for an NFL team. So we're talking about all these comps and stuff like that. Tell me, Adam, where do you think, like, potential landing spots? Where could he fit? Where do you see him falling in the draft?
This one makes more sense for Pittsburgh because he's a running back that can handle getting hit behind line of scrimmage. Pittsburgh, we know, like, we'll see what happens with James Conner, but they have to get something going on the ground. Like, they cannot rely on Roethlisberger to throw 45 times again like last year. It's when their offense just completely fell apart in the second half. So Pittsburgh, you're going to hear a lot of these same teams for a lot of the running backs, but Pittsburgh, Atlanta, I would like, because he would just get 18 to 20 touches, I would imagine, and would be able to get, like, he's a guy you want in the short yardage. So Atlanta's a good enough offense to where they're going to get a lot of short yardage opportunities still. And Javonte Williams, like, Todd Gurley was bad last year, but remember in the first half of the season, he was like the RB8 or 9 in fantasy for a little bit because he kept scoring touchdowns. And Javonte Williams is going to be more explosive and more dynamic than Todd Gurley was last year. So I could definitely see Atlanta. Miami, he would kind of fit that scheme too, with Brian Flores playing defense, running the ball hard, physical. I could see Miami as well.
Yeah, I mean, the first few that I wrote down, and it's really funny because these two teams pick back-to-back to each other in the second round. Seattle and Pittsburgh at 55-6, I think, make a ton of sense.
Carson walks and they just bring in who you comped Chris Carson to.
I really think that it makes a ton of sense for both of them as far as not only that, but you see both of these teams, a running back that can create for himself as well as pass protect, and that's something that's definitely going to be needed for Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. I think that he could go anywhere from the second to the third round. I do think that he's probably going to get picked somewhere if he falls in the third round. Like, I don't see him probably falling all the way to the fourth round, but hell, crazier things have happened. If he does fall into the third round, again, we're talking about the Jets at 66 make a ton of sense. They also have another third-round pick in the 80s. You talked about Atlanta, Miami at 82. If somehow he were to fall that far, or if they were to want to trade up to get him, I think that really comes down to really what is their opinion of Myles Gaskin after this last year. Although I as good as Myles Gaskin was, I don't know if they're as sold on him being the long-term guy there. So investing a third-round pick into a running back, I could definitely see there. I'm going to bring up one more team because I know people could say that it's really, really random, but the fit makes sense. And this team also has two compensatory third-round picks at 99 and 105. The New Orleans Saints at 60 are intriguing to me. As a team that if we could see them go back to a more run-first mentality like they did with Breeze in yesteryears, Alvin Kamara is a guy that, yes, has he taken on more of a workload in the previous years in the rushing department? Yes. But now signed, if they worry about his longevity, and Latavius Murray is no spring chicken, dude. Like, he's 31. They could cut him this year and save $2.4 million against the cap. Bring in a guy like Javonte Williams that's able to take that banger role. He's able to pass protect as well as be an outlet like we've seen Latavius Murray be. I don't think that it's insane in the second round. Is it high? Sure. But could New Orleans also trade back a little bit? Or as well, they have those two compensatory picks in the third. If for some reason he fell that far, As a place where I don't think that a lot of people would even put that on their radar, I think it does make some sense.
What about if there was one team other than the Saints we haven't talked about yet for a landing spot for running back? I could see New England, too.
It's possible. I mean, again, what does that whole entire freaking team look like, man? Wow. I mean, I don't know that they look at Damian Harris as being the long-term guy. They still have a first-round pick sewed into Sony Michel, and I know that's been years ago. Yeah, it's curious, man, because they got the offensive line to do it. If they wanted to sit here, if they somehow got a serviceable, like, bridge kind of quarterback, somehow got a hold of Jimmy Garoppolo again, somebody else that was able to move the offense, and really it's more of a run-first mentality, again, not through the quarterback position this year, but again, a lot of rushing, good offensive line, solid to above-average defense behind them, and I know that people could say I'm throwing shade at the Patriots' defense, blah, 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 whatever. I think that, yeah, I could see it. It's a formula.
I would also say Buffalo, but I think they need somebody that is just more explosive. They have two slower backs that can break tackles and miss tackles, but are very, very underwhelming in the passing game. So, like, that wouldn't be a good spot for Javonte Williams. As much as I love Javonte Williams, I think we'll talk about it.
Do an attack. Like, I think they're probably going to be happy with who they have.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Buffalo's with Brian Daboll back, they're going to throw the ball and play their strengths. Yeah. So, like, do you really take Najee Harris at pick 30 as much as I would love that? Probably not. I think they just go offensive line or cornerback at that pick. So I don't think Buffalo would be a spot for running back, at least not in the first round.
Or do they go linebacker and not re-sign Milano?
That is literally we're going on a tangent here, but if Matt Milano signs or not, it depends on that. That is what will impact what Buffalo does at pick 30. Because there's going to be some linebackers there for them to have at 30.
Yep. Yeah. Nah, I like that call, man. All right, everyone, that is the prospect profile for Javonte Williams. Again, follow us on Twitter at ChalkFade. Get subscribed on iTunes or wherever you consume your podcast content. Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to be discussing Ja'Marr Chase this week, as well as we're talking about we're going to have Ray GQ in the house on Friday. Talk about Najee Harris, baby. And Thursday, Josh Kelce, the man, the myth, the legend, to talk about Kyle Pitts all this week. And these prospect profiles are not going to slow down, walking all the way up to the NFL draft. For Fan the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.